So let's polish where we stopped in the morning. Let's polish it. So I understand that some things probably are a bit sketchy. So we'll tidy it up before we go forward. So we're looking at God's right hand, right? Are you tired of looking at it? Nah, we are still looking at it. Tomorrow we are still looking at it. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is Paul praying for the church in Ephesus. And he's not praying for them to have cash. He's not praying that they would be the wealthiest church in the world. Sometimes we need to look at the content of our prayers. Content of our prayers. If every time you pray, your prayer is always about needs and wants and provision, then something is wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting God to provide for you. In fact, I want it. Don't you? Everything, I just want in Christ. I just want forgiveness of sin. That's what I just want to be doing. No, you need money. I tell people, we all work for money, right? I didn't say work for God, though. We work in our natural professions. We all work for money. And if you say it's passion, why does your association go on strike? So it's not passion, really. It's money. But our focus must not be on money. There are realities in Christ that surpass money, that money cannot buy. And those must be things that you go for. Are you with me? So observe his prayer. It starts from verse 15. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spiritual wisdom, right? Huh? We said, God doesn't give different kinds of spirits. No. Because you can read it in a way that you think that, oh, God gives to some people the spirit of wisdom, and he gives to some people the spirit of knowledge, then another spirit of understanding, then another spirit of faith, another spirit of prophecy, another spirit of tongues, another spirit of visions. No, God does not share spirits. Just one Holy Ghost. Amen. Say just one Holy Ghost. And so, what he is giving to them is not the spirit of wisdom, rather spiritual wisdom. And that's why I used the word and. That and there is to explain the wisdom of the spirit. So you say spiritual wisdom, that is, so that, we said in the morning that you must look at the grammatical structure. Not every time you see and, because the Bible was not written in English, firstly, you have to pay attention to observe. This and, is it explaining it or is combining two things? For example, if you look at in Ephesians 1, in verse 2, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. Verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two people or one person? Huh? Is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Alright. So when you use blessed be God and the Father, that and now, is it combining or is it explaining? So, now suddenly you can see that not every time you see and, he's talking about two things. For example, I can give you for free that when Paul said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit, he's talking about one and the same thing. The giving of our Lord Jesus Christ shows the love of God. That's the word grace. The giving of Jesus Christ for the world is what showed us the love of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. One and the same thing. One and the same thing. So, we need to look at it again. So, in Ephesians 1 now, he says that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. We have put that together. Is the wisdom of the spirit. I think this is going far back as camp meeting 2019 or 20. So we explained, I think that was what we dealt with that year. So we are just, every camp meeting we are building on what we taught. I think I referred to camp meeting last year this morning. Alright, so it gives to you the wisdom of the spirit. That is, because in case you're asking, what would the wisdom of the Spirit produce? Is it going to give me business ideas? No. He said, it will give you revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Revelation. So revelation knowledge is a product of prayer. That the eyes of understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, very, very specific details. Everybody who is called a believer must believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's one of the most important chapters and facts that you can ever allude to as a believer. He was raised from the dead. He didn't faint. Amen. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heaven, far above all principality and power and mind and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Amen. So we start looking at where is Jesus. He said when he raised him from the dead, he made him to sit at his own right hand in heaven. So we began to look at God's right hand. Shekinah. And if we decide to close camp meeting right now, which we will not, I believe that you are not seeing a big throne and Jesus is sitting, you know, like Otun. No. We have been able to investigate and look at the scriptures without emotions, remember? And see that God's right hand is what? Eh? Remind me, we said it's a codified language. Remember? Again, don't say they are twisting the scripture. They say now the Bible says Bible has codified language. No, that's that church, only that church. They say the Bible has codified language. Now, codified language is grammar. It's our own grammar. Is that clear? We are saying one word that has meanings. Is it making sense? Just a single word that you can use to explain many things. For example, I don't want to use Chelsea. I've said the devil will not snatch this one. For example, you say, that man is patient, he is kind, he is understanding, he is gentle, he trusts the process. Then you say, he's an Arsenal fan, right? I say, oh no, he's Chelsea. Amen. So you say, he's an Arsenal fan. Meaning, when he says he's an Arsenal fan, I say, he's patient. I know why. I know why I say he's patient. Hallelujah. He's patient. He must be kind. Because when you are patient, you know, it's just one fruit of the Spirit, another follows. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, so codified language. We say codified language means you're going to use one word to talk about many things. Is it making sense? So we said the right hand of God is a codified language. And we're able to see from the prophets and even from the New Testament that it signifies God's deliverance, right? God's salvation, God's help. Come on, talk to me. God's power. I had revenge. Eh? God's interference on the earth. Uh-huh. Mightiness. You know, so when you want to put all of that in the word, but we said very importantly, it is God's intervention with man. Every time you see the right hand, it is not for spirit. Mm-mm. The right hand of God works for man. It is when God steps into a situation, then you say, your right hand has done valiantly. So it is not a seat. It is not. What else again? One room. There's one throne. Now, come. There is nothing like that. Take it from your head. Take it away. I know it's going to be very difficult, but it's easy. Amen. You see that big throne? You like this? That's gone. Where Jesus is just showing his hand to God every time, say, "Ah, sinner, I died," and God now say, "I forgive them." Then as Gabriel, carry trumpet on Kiev. As I want to blow, Jesus said, he just blocked the mouth of the trumpet. Don't blow. Oh, well, he's not yet saved. Nah. So we were closing in on the throne, right? So we said the right hand of God by the throne of God. And we started looking at the word throne of God because it can deceive. There's a deception there where you can just think, there's actually a throne. And we look at the word throne, which is thronos. Now, someone said, why do we always have to go to the Greek? Now, come. Don't be all impulsive and defensive. Why would you not go to the Greek? You say, they want to scam. They want to start teaching nonsense. That's why they will say Greek. Mm-mm. What language did Paul speak? English. No. English was not even existing. So, if God wants to talk to Paul, what language do you think he will hear? His own language. Wait. When God, when you are ministering in believers meeting, you hear this. You say, Imana Masuane, Imana Masuane, Manana, yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah. There's someone here. Nah, you don't. You hear it in English, amen? Whatever God is going to talk to you, He's going to talk to you in plain terms. So how did the prophet write the Bible? In the language you understood. It's simple. It's simple. And sometimes it requires us, because of modern English. Modern English is the reason why we have to even go back to some text and say, what does this really mean? Because in normal English, when you hear throne, throne is someone's, whatever, decorative chair and all of that, right? But that's not the same thing the Greek is saying. The Greek does not mean a chair. So we look at the word thronos. And, you know, for example, you say the Queen of England, who passed on last year, she ruled for about 72 or 75 years. I can't remember, but 70-something years. That was her throne. That was her reign. So when you say the throne of God, that's the reign. The sphere of influence. Where God's power touched. Remember that movie? Lion King. Say, Father, where he's asking, where's our kingdom? And he said, everywhere the sun touches. Right? Amen? You like that one? Uh-huh. Everywhere the sun touches. Some people are, as I say, Pastor, talk about movie now. This one's. I understand truth. Just Lion King. Now do that. Alright, so that is his throne. Everywhere the sun touches. That is his throne. So you don't see it in like a chair. Mm-mm. You must see it as what it is. His reign, where his supremacy gets to. So we saw that heaven is the throne of God. If heaven was what you were thinking, listen, a place where there's river and golden floor and chandeliers. Who brought the chandelier there? So there's even this idea that some people have houses there. You know, as in my father's house, there are many mansions. That some people shop that they have. So someone, when I was younger, 2003, I went for a meeting, three or four, one meeting like that, and the woman was confessing. She died, and then she came back. Supposedly, she said she died. I've always said, since that time, when I started preaching, I said, when people die like that and they come back, give them food. Because I think it's hunger that's making them talk all these things. So she said, if she went to heaven, then she saw her house that does not have roof. It does not have roof. That it probably even the road to the house, there's pothole. Are you saying no kokomaiko in heaven? Are you sure it's nothing? It does not have roof. That, I was still believing all of that because of our sin, that sometimes can you go, that the house doesn't have food. You just spoiled everything, you just started to rain. Eh? In heaven. I'm not that smart like that. But I know it cannot rain above the clouds. Because rain comes from the clouds. So if you claim that it's above the clouds, where did the rain come from? If you want to be a DJ, you just say it's the rain of his glory. So you hear all of those things. So we think. So if we say heaven is like that, how come that say heaven is his throne? Nah, it's not physical. The same way the right hand is not physical. The throne is God's sphere, where God's power operates. And if you're going to see God's power on the earth, then that is heaven. You go to preach, and someone who used to live his life anyhow before. Who did not regard God and everything. He got saved. And he confessed Jesus as Lord. But sometimes you don't see that as a miracle again in church. He wants to give testimony. I want to thank God. Ah, our Father on this mountain. Last week, I was single. This week, I'm plural. Praise the Lord for me. And I said, I know who I don't go. Now I watch Willie Agba now. And that person goes, firstly, I want to thank the pastorate. It's 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Please go. I want to sing the song. No song. They say, I before singing the song, I want to donate about 50 million to church. They sing your song. Sing your song. They say, that was a contract I was believing God for. You know, there's a way you say that one. So now we got it. Hallelujah! Then, praise the Lord on this mountain. The third person, I was believing God for the fruit of the womb. He gave me basket. out of the womb. Then another person comes and says, I want to thank God. The outreach I went for yesterday, souls were won. Say, hey, what's not the testimony? But that's the greatest miracle. Hallelujah. That's the biggest one. Amen. Amen. You just snatched the soul from darkness. You just caused confusion in the dark. That's the biggest one. So stop seeing. So when you do that, you hear the soul. That's heaven. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples out and they went to preach. And they came back and said, demons were subject to us through your name. Remember? Huh? In Luke 10. And he said, ah, it's light came from heaven. I behold Satan fall. And the Bible says, and that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. So, you understand when he says there's joy in heaven over every sinner that repents. Where was the joy he was doing? Amen. Amen. He's not beyond the cloud that you are dancing. No. He's right there. It's Peter and John and everybody. That's the joy in heaven. Keeps going of itself. Alright? So, we said heaven is God's sphere of influence. That is the throne of God. We looked at that in the morning already. Abby? Now, the major issue now will now be the big elephant in the room. So, Pastor, I understand everything you have been saying. We are in heaven. I understand that we are seated in Christ. I understand that heaven is God's sphere of influence. I understand that the right hand is for deliverance. Abi? That's what God does, got us saved. Abi? The right hand of God got us saved from darkness into his light. Abi? Look here. Don't get distracted by the talk. So, we understand the right hand. Now, the big elephant in the room. So, what will now happen at the end of the world? If that question is not in your mind, you probably were not listening to me. I understand why we think that, why we would expect to run away from this world. I understand. Amen. Are we going to be like this forever? No. Capital N-O. But what is going to happen? Before we talk about what's going to happen, let's talk about what is not going to happen. Because I said something yesterday night. If you say God dwells in you, then where is he coming to take you to? It appears we contradict ourselves every Sunday. He lives in me, but he will come and take me. From where? It's either he doesn't live in you. Let's be factual. But there is hope that one day he will come, then everybody will just disappear. Often it's always the pastor that will not go. You understand? I know what I'm saying. The pastor will just inquire. You don't need to go anywhere. But is that what the Bible teaches? No. At all. It's not in one place in the Bible. So how come it got popular like that? I don't know. The same way it got popular that when you don't pay your tithe, you are eating the forbidden fruit. So the forbidden fruit is tithe. And now it's sex. You are just not thinking. Everybody just open their mouth. You know, you are in social media era. Everybody has an opinion. Well, let's look at something. So one of the things we have to deal with is the idea of the rapture. Have you paid the online prayers this afternoon? Eh? You need it all. Amen. Alright. Now, as a younger person, younger because I'm still very young, but as a younger person, younger when I was a teenager's president, one of the things I used to scare people was rapture. And if it did not scare you, you are not born again. Sincerely, let me be serious. If the idea of Jesus coming and you missing it does not scare you, I will ask you, my friend, I said, if Jesus comes the next 5 minutes, it's always 5 minutes, where will you be? Suddenly, just everybody. Forgive me. In fact, I have someone that I had in secondary school. I was preaching. It was during the break time. I think we were in SS2. And I was preaching to him. It was during, second term. And he's a pastor now in Redeem. Amen. I got him saved. All right. And he told me then, we used to call him Beauty. No, he calls someone Beauty. He's not an alcoholic. You call him Beauty. I think I told you about him. Who was I telling about Beauty? Okay, it was you. And I saw him on Facebook. He just messaged me and said, Pastor, Beauty. He said, no, Lekosa. Beauty. You know, he said, when he wants to die, he will just quickly repent. That was the point of wasting everything. that he has not even seen. That, okay, what Jesus wants to forgive now? That let him sin well so that Jesus' blood can count. That's when, after I've done exegesis, draw a break time, I didn't go and eat in talk shop. When I heard, I was weak, both in the spirit and in the flesh. That was some years ago, man. He said, let me sin well. Jesus' blood will count. Then, as I'm about to die, like this, 5 minutes, I just say the Lord's Prayer. So he used to scare, and he should. But let's look at, there's just one Bible verse, really, just one like this, that everybody quotes. And if we read it properly, we'll see that it doesn't mean what people say. So during the lockdown, 2020, Abby, a lot of conspiracy theorists, I got a lot of messages. Someone told me, said, sir, this vaccination, is it not 666? It's 10-10-10. You know, you are just so used to, you are finding Antichrist that is not lost. Some of you have Antichrist as your neighbor. In fact, the Antichrist was the one that helped you remove your clothes from the line when it was about to rain. Mommy Sadiq. No, not ah. Amen. So, different theories, different conspiracies. In fact, I've seen many Antichrists in this my short time of being on the earth. At the time, it was Osama Bin Laden. Some of you just heard the name. You didn't know when he was doing this stuff. Osama Bin Laden. It was crazy. At the time, it was Pope John Paul. He said, he's too gentle. He must be the Antichrist. He's not one is too violent. He says, he's the Antichrist. He's not one is too gentle. He must be the Antichrist. Then later, he said, Revelation describes him. Obama. Then suddenly, that one leaves the presidency. He left the throne. You see that? He left his throne. So he left his throne. You think the throne of the president is just to sit down? No, everywhere he goes, that's where his reign is. Amen. So he left his throne and he said, it can't be Obama. This one, you know, has left. Then he became Bill Gates. Someone that both of us are aspiring to be like financially. Yes or no? If you like, say no. You just drink, guy. You drink, guy. You have to understand, you'll be blind. At the point, it was Michael Jackson. Who exactly is Antichrist? Now, there are many Antichrists in the Bible. But there was someone that was Christ, then now became Antichrist. That was Saul. Amen. Saul, the son of Kish, the first king of Israel. He was first on Christ, then he became Antichrist. Antichrist means you don't believe that Jesus is come in the flesh. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God is the Antichrist. He's not a beast that has 8 heads. I've told you, calm down. You have not finished reading Matthew. You went to read Revelation. Now start seeing different kind of vision. 4-footed beast with three heads. And each head has 21 eyes. So yeah, draw it. So, someone said, Pastor, can't you see the sign of the end of the world? It is near. He says, nations rising against nations. War. You know, this is when the war has been. You know when nation has been rising against nation? Your great grandfather was not born. That nation has been rising against nation. Was it not nation that rise against nation that made Joshua stop the sun? That was the end of time. No. That cannot be the sign of the end.
Amen.
The Bible is full of war now. So which one is the sign of the end? That of the other wars. If someone told me, say, at the end of the end of the world. Why would they call someone good? Okay, now we know the truth. It's okay. So he said, why would they call someone good, greatest of all time? Okay, I was talking about the short man from Argentina, amen. Not my own goat. Now you know who decided I'm one. He said, call someone great of all time. That belongs to our God alone. Let me make you laugh. Someone said, everybody that watches football and plays football is a sinner. See the logic. See, in football that you have to dribble. That's deception. That why would you like this, that you want to go like this and you not go like this? Bible says lie not to one another. You don't know what you are. You are lucky. I've been to conferences. You are very lucky. Lie not to one another. You are lying multiple times. I just want to tell the person, this is where I want to take the bottom. Antichrist.
It is well.
So he made him sit at the right hand, right? And there are things that we believe. Jesus is coming again. When? I was talking to an atheist sometime last year. And he said, you've been saying Jesus is coming again. And you've been saying it before he was born. When is he coming? And I was like, this is trash. Laughed. you find out your own destiny. Let me talk to believers. Let me explain to believers who have the Spirit of God to understand. Amen. They will not deal with you. But let's look at something.
What does the Bible say exactly? Did the Bible say Jesus will show up in the sky?
Definitely not. Definitely not. What I'm just doing is preparing you so I will look at it properly, and then we will now see what will happen. We say, well, this is what will not happen. Not like paradise where donkey and lion will be together and they will be drinking from the same water. The day it happens, I'll give $50,000. Donkey and lion in the same place. Umajedan. Cannot happen. That's not paradise. But because there's a book we all read growing up, and it drew donkey and lion together. So, this is the idea. One day, everybody will just be doing their normal business, and people will disappear. Look at your neighbor. Does it look like someone wants to disappear? You now remain pious and choir. You now be begging for forgiveness of sin. You now be singing psalm. The dark has nothing on me. Change that dark by implication of 666. Has nothing on me. Then plane will crash, like I said yesterday. But they say that nobody will die until they. That even if you torture yourself and you want to kill yourself, you will not die. But plane will crash from thousands of feet and you will not die. I pity you. No go try them. I would also say, if they bring CCCs in this country, we will work it out. Nigeria. CCC, we will reason it. I will not collect it and I will have it. It's just one local government I will go. Okay, we'll settle it. Branuru. Me fake by Mark here now. You move 5K. No, man. Matthew 24. You know why I want to start with? Because we read somewhere in the morning, Matthew 26, 64. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Abi? And we explain the clouds, right? Firmament of people. Eh? Did they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven? Eh? So what Jesus was saying is, you are seeing only me now. But there's a day to come, you're going to see millions around the world preaching. The Son of Man will come in the clouds of heaven. Not everywhere you see cloud, it means cloud now. Come on. When you say cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded with cloud of witnesses. Is it we are surrounded with a sky of witness? No, now. People. When the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, Genesis 1:2. You think it's an ocean? No, now. As though the Spirit of God is bed. That's the image in some people's head. The Spirit of God is moving. No, it's not a bird. John said, I saw it like a dove. Like, you don't know what like is again. Similarly. What school did he go to? He's definitely not school of science. Hallelujah. School of science. Okay, Bola Ibadan. One of the best schools you actually can attend in Nigeria. I give it to you for free. Amen. Free advert. I didn't go for the alumni. Yeah. Alright. Matthew 24. Are you there? It's going to be a very long study. But pay attention. Verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Pay attention. Where is he having discussion? He just left the temple. Tomorrow that will be very important for us because we're going to be looking at geography. Very important. He departed from the temple and the disciples came unto him and they showed him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not crash. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately. See, those ones, they like private discussions. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Is this not the verse? Eh? That is Shane's verse. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, don't let any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and they will deceive many. And you will hear the sound of war. Now, let's take the signs one by one. Many will come in my name, saying they are Christ. Did it happen in the Bible itself? Eh? Okay, good. So that's one of the signs. Then there shall be hearings of war, rumors of war. I say, all this Russia, Ukraine, Kenya. at the sign of the end time. You know, this is when Russia and US have been fighting. Probably before you were born, some of you. And they've not fought each other on their own soil. That's what political power is. And they are about 55 miles away from each other. But if you go to Arizona, you can see Russia from afar. And if not, for they will just choose venue. Google Meet. So they've been fighting since. That cannot be the design of the end.
But see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. That's been happening before I was born. Kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And all this at the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And iniquity shall abound and love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, shame shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness to the nations, then the end shall come. When you therefore see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child. And to them that are breastfeeding mothers. Hey, I'm looking at someone. Side eye. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. It's not an air flight, too. That is when you are running away. Neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as was not in the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh to be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say to you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go there. Is in the secret chambers. Don't believe it. For as lightning comes out from the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then, don't forget, heaven, put it on one hand. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet. And he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Okay? So heaven is not one place now, suddenly. It's from one end of heaven to another. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When these branches stand up, put forth the leaves, you know. So likewise shall it be that... Know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. But what I just said will happen. I read verse 35, but that's what I just said. Not my own words, his own words. So we have seen the sign, Abby. From the scriptures, we have seen all the signs that will happen, Abby. We have read it. But observe the way he ends it. Verse 34. This generation. Sorry, is that our generation? Which generation? The people that were there with him. Peter and the likes. Abi, this generation shall not pass till all these things are fulfilled. And Jesus does not lie. That's what we know now. He even gave you an answer. He said, heaven and earth can pass. We are going to see actually heaven and earth passed. Amen. All right. So come. Let's read Mark's account. Mark 13. So put your Bible marker in Matthew 24, for we are coming back there. Then go to Mark 13. Are you having camp meeting now? But morning session was boring. Mark 13, verse 4. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what be the sign of these things to be fulfilled? Now, Mark did not use the sign of your coming or end of the world. He just says, when will it be fulfilled? What? Verse 2. See this great building. One stone will not be left on another. Everything will be thrown down. Abi? Then Mark writes that the disciple says, when will it be fulfilled?
Then Jesus now said, you will hear sounds of war, you will hear nations against nations, false prophets will arise. Abi, that is when the what will be fulfilled, please? Eh? What will be fulfilled according to Mark 13 now? Eh? The temple will be destroyed. The temple will be destroyed. They asked him, what is the sign? What is the sign that the temple will be destroyed? And he gave them the signs. Let's look at the way Luke put his own. Luke 21. You know, I love God's word, man. You do? I like it. Luke 21, verse 5. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one left, one stone left upon another, that will not be destroyed, that will not be thrown down. Then they asked him, Master, when shall these things be? What will be the signs when these things shall come to pass? Only Matthew wrote it and said, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Listen, Mark and Luke are not Jesus' disciples, direct disciples. Alright? So they probably tried and said, let's just make this thing clear. What will be the signs of the destruction of the temple? So, can we all agree that he was talking about the temple? I mean, what signs are they looking for? The sign of, he said the temple will crash down. Now, for Israel, the temple is heaven on earth for them. It's where God and man meet in one place. So they say, what will be the sign that this temple that we have built will now be destroyed in just in a twinkle of an eye? Jesus now gave them the signs. But go back to Matthew 24. So the conversation is about the temple. You must not miss out on that. The conversation is about the temple. Mark says, when will it be fulfilled? Matthew says, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? It is the second coming. Just say, what is the sign of your coming? Because there's no scripture that talks about second coming. The closest is Hebrews 9. But we're going to look at that. Now, put on your thinking caps. Switch it on. You're about to think. The first question. If they say, what is the sign of your coming? Were they expecting him to die? No. Definitely no. When he died, they were shocked. Come on. They were not. That was why those disciples, as they were going on the road to Emmaus, we looked at that like yesterday night. He said, a prophet indeed, he don't go. Support the law. Jesus, don't go. How are we going to do it now? Hey, I don't send my fishing net to follow this man. Now he says he's not doing it again. He has gone, they've killed him. They were not expecting him to die. Talk more of saying he will now come back. Were they expecting him to rise from the dead? No. Okay, let's even put it like this. Did they know he would die? No. So, that idea of that they were talking about his second coming, I don't understand. They didn't even know that he would die, he would rise from the dead, then suddenly, they didn't know that there would be a time that they would not see Jesus again. So, you cannot say they were talking about a coming in the future, 2094. No. They didn't have that in mind. And there was not like second coming. Because when he died, it was shocking for them. They didn't know he would resurrect. Talk less of making a special appearance. So, whatever you are thinking that it was going to happen at the end of the world, something very dramatic, they didn't have it in mind. They don't even know what they are talking about. Their own is, they left the temple. They said, Jesus, look at this building. I was showing Brosola a particular church as we come. I went for a business meeting on, what was that? Monday. Tuesday or Monday. We were coming back, so I saw a very beautiful church building. I love looking at buildings. And I said, this is nice. We should have something like this. Amen. You believe it? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Very nice building. They're very beautiful. Big car park and all. I said, we should have something like this. Very soon. So that was what disciples were too was doing. No, he's my disciple. So I'm his disciple, so I'm showing him. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. So I was just showing him the building. So the disciples were showing him. I said, see this temple. Then Jesus said, something that will be destroyed. So in corner, they went to meet him. What will be the sign? So I can be the first to put it on blog. I can appear like the master predictor. What will be the sign? They were, for Mark and Luke's account, they also understand that they are not even talking about any coming. Abi? Mark and Luke, they stood with just the fact that he was talking about the temple. I mean, what would be the sign of this destruction? Matthew is the one that says, what is the sign of your coming? We are going to look at those words. Come. What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Is that Matthew's own? Mark and Luke just said, what is the sign that the temple will be destroyed? So all those signs you are seeing now, everything, the conversation is about the temple. Let's look at the phrase, end of the world. Matthew 10.
We sing glory. We shall go.
Matthew 10. No, one of the signs that Jesus told them that is that you'll be hated of men, Abby. Eh? That you'll be hated. Abby? Alright. Matthew 10 verse 22.
And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. For he that endures to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, you will not have gone over the cities of Israel before the Son of Man come. He's talking to his own disciples. Firstly, he first said, this generation will be there. The sign of everything. This generation, you will see it. Then now he's saying, you will not have gone over Israel before the Son of Man come. Ha! How many years ago was that one? Matthew 24 again. I like that verse 34. He says, this generation, verse 34, shall not pass. Now, where error will happen is that if you are reading it as this, our own generation, no. I've told you, the Bible must mean today what it meant to those who heard it that time. It cannot mean something else now, suddenly. If it means something else now, it's a lie. Amen. It must mean today what it meant that time. If he was talking about forgiveness of sin, then it must be forgiveness of sin. If he was talking about loving your neighbor, then he's loving your neighbor now. It cannot suddenly turn to financial prosperity text. Right? So say, are you not trying to just tell us that Jesus will not come again? You see, be patient. He's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You know what led us to all these things? We read Matthew 26:64 in the morning. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven. So we're looking at, is the coming that famous second coming? And we look at the text, the anchor text for that second coming, which is Matthew 24. Abby, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Okay? So, he says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Wait. If the idea of rapture is that Jesus will appear in the sky and he will take us to heaven, he said heaven will pass away. No, we're just thinking, right? We're just thinking. If the idea is he will appear, then take us to heaven. He says heaven and earth will pass away. Oh, it's another heaven. So now let me suspend everything and let's go for it. Heaven and earth is what? Glorious house church. God and man in one place. Where is the place? Temple. Some of you are saying yourself, which is okay. You are right. You are the temple of God. But that's the temple. So to Israel, why did Moses build the temple? So that that nation and God can meet in one place. If there's any place, they know that if I go inside the temple, God is there and I'm there. Is it making sense? So heaven and earth is a codified language for the temple, where you find God and you find man, where you find God's intervention. Don't forget, Solomon, when he built the temple, he said, God, I know that you don't stay in temple made with hands, but if anybody looks towards this temple, let them be saved. Deliver them. Okay? So let's come back home. Look at Matthew 16. Bible study is not gra-gra. You have to take your time. And like I said this morning, you have to do it without emotions. The moment we get emotional with it, we cannot get blessed. Amen? Get emotional. No. This is what I've always known. Calm. Me too. That's something I've always known before. Alright, Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his work. Can we verse 28 together? So, everywhere we have seen, it appears like something that will happen, like in that particular time frame. Abi, we have read three places. This generation will not pass away. He said, you will not have gone throughout Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now he's saying, some of you that are standing here, you will not taste death. Till you see the Son of Man come in his glory, you will not have tasted death. Abi, which one of them have not tasted death? Abi, Peter is here. Just be.
He just says, this young boy, when we were preaching in Galilee, he does this. They've all tasted death. So, that means the Son of Man has come. Because he said, we'll not go to heaven. Ha, how long? Calm. Are we going to see Jesus face to face? Very well, yes. Has that set to your mind now? Eh? So you say, ah, I will not see Jesus. See, I see you face to face. You see him. That's only one of my favorite parts of that stuff.
So he said some people not taste death, and he was telling the disciples till they see the Son of Man coming. And we said, the coming of the Lord is not a returning. It is what we see in the prophets. We look at that in the morning. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Is it a returning or they saw him in people? Huh? They saw him in people. Is it in you? Some people are not sure. Oh, no, man. Not me. Is it me? He walks through me. He lives through me. He speaks through me. He heals through me. He walks through me. Oh, and I receive more of that. Oh, I receive more of that. I receive. Thank you, Jesus. So, the coming of the Son of Man, is it a returning or an appearance in men? Simple. We are not done. Now, the audience Jesus was talking to, he was talking to them before his resurrection. They didn't even know he was going to die. They didn't know he was going to be raised from the dead. What they were discussing was the destruction of the temple. And it was going to happen by an invading army. An army was going to come to town and they are going to destroy everywhere. That's why I said, you hear rumors of war. They will destroy everywhere. In that sense, if you are in the farm, there's no need to come home. Is it making sense? Say one will be here and another will be there and they will take that one away. Amen. So, the destruction is going to happen by an invading army. Don't forget that in Matthew 24, Jesus used Noah as an example. In verse 36, but of that day and the hour knows no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's like saying, I don't see. The destruction of the temple, I've just given you the signs. When the army will come. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen, in the days of Noah, the people that were taken away, were they the righteous or the unrighteous? Huh? Say it very well. Okay. And he used Noah as the example. Let me give it to you for free. If you are in Matthew 24, you'll be begging not to be taken away. Because taken away means you are going to be the spoils of war. Like days of Noah. Some will be taken away and some will remain. Okay? So those who remain are the ones in the days of Noah. Who are the ones that were saved? The ones that remained or the ones that were taken away? Suddenly we are not sure again. The ones that remained. Okay. So the ones that remained were the ones that were saved. So those who are taken away were the ones that were taken away by captivity. In Matthew 24. He's saying, an army will come, they will destroy the cities. A stalking mother. He said, woe to someone that has a child. Because there is war. Jagun. There is war. They will take away things. He said, two people will be dead. They will just take one as captive. Everywhere will scatter. Sorry. Who are the ones that will be saved? The ones taken away or the ones that remain? I'm sorry, your mouth cannot say it. Who are the ones that are saved? The ones that are taken away or supernaturally or the ones that remain? The ones that remain. That don't go anywhere. Now, let me do something. There's a text that is often used to corroborate this, but they mean different things entirely. First is Thessalonians 4, where Paul talks about that those who sleep in Christ, right? First Thessalonians 4, turn there. We would have explained that in time past. So I just thought to mention it. Verse 13, but I will not have you ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep. Asleep means who are dead. That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, we God bring with him. If we say this to you by the word, that which we are alive, which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the sound of the archangel, with the trumpet of the God, and then is, as I, Paul is discussing the redemption of our body. That one will happen. Amen. This body will be renewed. There will come a time where everyone who has believed in Christ, immortality will swallow up mortality. You will not die. You will not be weak. You will not be sick. You will not need food. You will not need sleep. Your favorite food will be gone forever. Yeah. You will not need it. Why? Because you will be immortal. Paul is talking about the redemption of our body, which was also discussed in Romans 8. Jesus is not talking about redemption of our body at all. At all. What was the conversation in Matthew 24 again? The destruction of the temple. See, these things are simple. What about Matthew 24? He said his own coming is about the destruction of the temple, and that the people that were there, they will still be alive. Is that what he said? He said, you will not have tasted death till the Son of Man comes. One, this generation will not pass till it happens. Two, you will not have gone through the entire city of Israel, one city of Israel, till you see me come. Three places where he mentioned that it will happen in that particular generation. What Paul said, it has not even happened now. Is it making sense? So there's a big, big, big difference in their audience and in the motif. M-O-T-I-F. Now, go back to Matthew 24. Are you learning something? You should. So let's look at the phrase. Say, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Still a lot to cover. The end of the world. Let's look at that phrase, end of the world. Again, we have made it English. It is not English. Don't forget, the conversation is about the temple. I keep saying that. In John 2, Jesus said something about the temple. John 2. See how we are going back, forth, back. That's the way to read. You can't just read one place and that's it. In my mind, this is what I think it means. No, your mind is not the Bible. Your mind is not the scriptures. It will never be. The Bible is the Bible. The Bible explains the Bible. Scriptures explain scriptures, not man. Is that clear? John 2. He went into the temple. In verse 16. And he said unto them that sold those, take these things from here, and make not my father's house an house of merchandise. He calls it my father's house. My father's house. Put that somewhere. My father's house. And his disciples remember that he was written, the zeal of your house has consumed me. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign will you show, seeing that you are doing these things? What sign? What sign? What sign? What sign will you show, seeing that you are saying all of these things? Then he said to them, destroy this temple, and I'll build it in 3 days. Hey. He said, my father's house is a house of prayer. Abi? Now, that is causing the prophet. It's conversing. The prophet said, his house shall be a temple of prayer for all nations. Right? Now, if it's going to be a temple of prayer for all nations, when he now said it, that my father's house is a house of prayer, he said, eh? Don't tell us that promise is coming to pass. If it's coming to pass, what is the sign? If you are talking like this, what is the sign? He said, the temple will be destroyed. Again, when will his father's house turn to a house of prayer? Upon the resurrection. Come on. What does he mean by house of prayer? Where God is heard and where God is spoken to, right? Where you hear God and you talk to God. House of prayer. When will that happen? You're cold. Sorry. When will that happen? When he's risen from the dead. Is it making sense? When he's risen from the dead, his house shall now turn to a house of prayer, a house of communion with God. Okay? So, when they heard that, listen very well. The moment they heard, look at me now. Hey. The moment they heard house of prayers, you are talking a big deal here. What will be the sign? Then Jesus said, the sign will be the temple will be destroyed. Matthew 24. When the temple is destroyed, you will see the Son of Man coming. Destroy this temple. He's not saying, I will destroy. He didn't say, I will destroy. He said, the temple will be destroyed, and I will build it in 3 days. Ah. And he said, 46 years, this temple was in building. You got your Bible, is that verse 20? And you say you will raise it in 3 days. 46 years, the temple was in building. You say you will raise it in 3 days. But he spoke about what? Eh? So when he says, so let's bring John 2
and Matthew 24 together. When he says the temple will be destroyed and then you see the Son of Man coming. The Son of Man coming, is that in building the temple in 3 days? Eh? Is that in rearing up the temple in 3 days? That explains why he told that generation that you will not have passed. You will be here. Is it making sense? You will be here when it happens. Because it's 3 days. Come on. 1, 2, 3. The temple will be destroyed and then that will be a sign of the resurrection. It will be a sign that, oh, the resurrection is here. And of course, the moment that the resurrection is here, then the Father's house is the house of prayer. Then the Spirit of God is now dwelling in the nations. So, what sign? Give us a sign. The sign that it will be a house for all nations. Then he said, the sign will be, the temple will be destroyed and I will raise it in 3 days. So in Matthew 24, was he talking about the destruction of the temple? In Matthew 24, was he talking about the destruction of the temple? Very well, yes. Look at John 14. Now, I know there are some people who are here, and this is the first time of probably listening to me. I apologize. I'm sorry. Amen? I'm sorry. So we have been building on things like this for a while. So to you, it might look sudden. I don't think to any Glorious House Church member, it's sudden. It's something we have been building on and on and on and on and on and on. By now, you should be able to pick it. You'll be able to pick from where we stopped. All right. But what you can do is to listen to previous teachings and build up. One of the things you must never do is to refuse a truth because of your emotions or because of how you feel. No, you shouldn't. That would be a very unwise thing to do. Test every prophet. Amen. Test the spirit. Exactly. Wait. If someone gives you the word of God, you take it as it is.
John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Sorry. Where did he call Father's house? In John 2. Where was that place? The temple, Abi? The temple. Alright. So can we say, in the temple, there are many mansions. The word mansion actually are many rooms. How many of you have room in your own version? Okay, one. What version is that? NIV. Who has another thing apart from mansion? Places. So, see, just ordinary translation has crossed the idea of you have one mansion in heaven. So you want duplex. But you will not be sleeping though. Hallelujah. See, there's one duplex for me in heaven. 5-bedroom terrace. What do you want Jesus to do? You will not sleep. You will not eat. No wife. No children in heaven. Papa light. No light. No, there's nothing like father. There's nothing like mother. There's nothing like child. There's just you. So you will not be boring. No. Ah, boring. Abba. There's no emotion, so there's nothing like boring. The emotions. Alright, so in the temple, there are many rooms. So the coming of the Lord will be the resurrection. The coming of the Lord in John 2, in John 14, which is, in John 14, he says, he's going to be the household of God. I go to prepare a place for you. In my death, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. So he's saying, upon what I'm about to do, both of us will now be in the same place. Is that what Paul now said in Ephesians 2? That he has quickened us and he has raised us to now be seated with Christ in heavenly places. When did that happen? Don't use resurrection. In his coming. Is it making sense? So in his coming, he has made us to sit in the same place. In his coming. In his coming, he has built the temple, a house of prayer for all nations. So let's look at the phrase, end of the world. So we are going back to Matthew 24. What will be the sign of your coming? So we are starting the coming, Abby. Eh? Somewhere, see, I understand. Somewhere in your heart. What? You believe? You have seen everything, no? Should I believe this thing? I don't understand. Should I believe? I remember the first time someone was teaching not to wear trousers, that you can wear trousers. Now, that appears like a common thing now. It was 2005, 18 years ago. And someone was teaching trouser. Wallah, I did not believe. He did all the scripture. He opened. I said, I should not go to hell. I will not preach it. I will not say this kind of thing. Now, all of you, some of you are on trousers. But you are rebuffing it that time. Television. That television is a tool of the devil. It's devil's box. Is this still devil's box? You are subscribing on devil's box now. sometimes things come like that. Amen. Calm. Well, we are just ahead of time.
Everybody will teach this. Hallelujah. So come. The coming of Jesus that he spoke about. Don't forget, I told you, are we going to see face to face?
Yes.
Our body is going to be redeemed. But Matthew 24, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the world, has nothing to do with rapture. In fact, if there's anything, he's saying don't be taken away, stay. It has to do with the temple. It has to do with that the temple will be destroyed. And the issue was not the temple will be destroyed. It's just that in that time frame of when the temple will be destroyed, that is when he will resurrect. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, what happened? There was an earthquake. Yes or no? There was earthquake. Darkness everywhere. Buildings crashed. Is that what he was talking about? That's the sign. Amen. I don't understand. It's not the same Bible I read. Emoji. You know you're looking at me. You are saying Jesus is not coming again.
He's coming.
He's coming. Tomorrow. The word end of the world. So I said to the coming. Amen. The coming in Matthew 24 primarily is about his resurrection. Don't forget, these guys did not know whether he was going to ascend or anything. Talk less of the day that they are now going to say he's going to make a special appearance. They have nothing like that in mind. Their own is, you said the temple will be destroyed. What's the sign? The word end of the world. The word end there is the word suntelia. S-U-N-T-E-L-I-A. S-U-N-T-E-L-I-A. It actually is the word accomplishment. So you now see why English cannot be the issue. Put it up. Alright. What's to tell you? You see it in Matthew 13. We are looking at the word end of the world. So the word end. So tell you. Matthew 13 verse 39. Verse 37 says, he answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. He was talking about how when white men slept, the enemy will sow tares among the seed, right? Among the wheat. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39. Can we read 39 together? The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers. The harvest is the end of the world. The harvest is the accomplishment. In verse 40, he says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Verse 49. So shall it be in the end of the world that the angels shall come forth and save the wicked from the just. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them of that all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even towards the end of the world. Again, till what I told you is accomplished. Is it making sense? Go and baptize everybody in the name. Go and teach nations. I am with you till it's accomplished. I am with you till we destroy the world together. You think that's what he's talking about? End of the world. Because some people, end of the world is everywhere will be destroyed, everywhere will scatter. No, I'm with you always, even till we, both of us will not destroy the world. No, now. I'm with you till the gospel is accomplished. Till the word of God comes to fulfillment. That is the end of the world. Fulfillment. Accomplishment. Mark 13. You learn something? Verse 4. Tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of these things shall be fulfilled? The word fulfilled there is the word suntelia. End. When will these things end? When will it be accomplished? And what were they talking about? The destruction of that temple. Luke 4, 2. Luke chapter 4, verse 2. Being 40 days, tempted of the devil, and in those days he did not eat anything. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. When those days were accomplished, when they were ended. In verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. When he has ended all the temptation. So, again, it means to complete, to finish something. So, what is the sign of your coming and the completion of this thing you said? So, end of the world is to complete a task. A task is not to destroy the world at all. I would have loved to look at, because there are two words that can help us. When we say end of the world, another word that can help us is the foundation of the world. But maybe sometime later. Amen. So I'll skip that. Go to Matthew 16. Go to Hebrews 9. Show you something.
start to close very soon. Are you learning something?
You have to go back to the right hand of God. Don't forget, that's where we're coming from. God's right hand. Don't get lost in the temple and Hebrews 9. Can we verse 26 together?
For then, has suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, he has appeared to put away sin.
So he said Jesus died at the end of the world. Abba. So he said, from the foundation of the world he has been spoken, but at the end of the world now he has appeared.
And he was talking about his own time, Paul.
He said, at the end of the world, Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So again, he's talking about how the word is coming out. He's saying, the what was said by the prophet is now fulfilled, is accomplished, it has come to pass. Now calls that the end of the world. Again, it's not like the world is no more. It has been accomplished. Is it making sense? Soteria.
Okay. We must not be emotional with doctrine at all. Go to Matthew 24. So, do you understand Matthew 24 now?
The signs are the signs of what? Of the destruction of the temple. We can also say the sign of his resurrection. That the resurrection is near. Abi? Because it's two things. The temple will be destroyed and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Signs of both. Abi?
Alright, so those are the signs. Okay, I just wanted to tidy up some things. Okay? So when he says, go to Matthew 26 now. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Matthew 26, are you there? Can we verse 63 and 64 together again? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure you by the living God. Tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of God? Then he said unto him, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. So his coming will be where? Amen.
Abi now. His coming will be, okay, let's say his coming is resurrection. Abi? Yeah. His coming is resurrection. So don't let anybody bamboozle you and say, Jesus has said he's coming soon. He has said it since. When will he come? He has come. Accept him. We should talk about that coming more. Amen. 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 He has arrived. Don't wait for someone. you keep having picture of someone and say, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. He has arrived. Receive his life. When you receive his life, then you receive that one that you're talking about. The one of that you fly.
Well, how will you fly?
He said, you like to fly some things. I want to fly.
You have my phone now. Don't me for.
Alright. I'll close with Matthew 16. Pray for me. Nice one. Don't catch me.
Matthew 16. Which I said, we are going towards that part now. So, don't forget what we're looking at. Who raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and dominion and might and every name that is named, not only this world but also in the world which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you. Amen. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you are Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say John or some other prophet. So who do you say that I am? And Peter rose up and said, you are Christ. Very important statement. We'll see tomorrow morning. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the God who is alive. He's talking about the resurrection. Then he said, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven, thou art Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. Sorry, when he says build my church, is that the temple? Is that the temple? Alright. On this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, very interesting phrase. Probably should look at it. But not now. Maybe tomorrow. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll give you to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So whatever God will do in his right hand, He does it through His church. I will build my church. And I will give them the keys to bind and to loose. To bind and to loose. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. It is a critical aspect. It is a critical statement of our faith. That what God will do on the earth today, He will do through you. You believe it? You believe it? Jesus sat at the right hand of God, or standing at the right hand of God, is demonstrated in you. Sometimes we are not conscious of that power. We don't put it to mind. We don't milk it enough. That the God of the earth, the Almighty God, Yahweh, says He will give His church the keys of the kingdom. That's what He said. And that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound to heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So we have the capacities to demonstrate God's power. You believe it? We have the capacity to demonstrate God's power. We have the capacity to demonstrate God's power. We have the capacity to demonstrate God's power. How can you be a minister of the gospel and you don't bind and loose? How can you be a minister of the gospel and the devil has given you a job to be arguing doctrine about? No. The keys of the kingdom are here. And we demonstrate God's power. And we demonstrate God's power. We demonstrate God's power. That's not loud enough. We demonstrate God's power. We demonstrate God's power. We demonstrate God's power. We demonstrate God's power. I told you when we were coming for camping, I said, new experiences. New experiences. Knowledge ought to bring you to new levels. It ought to raise the podium. It ought to raise the pedestal. New experiences in our faith, on our outreaches, in our churches, in ourselves. New experiences. New experiences by the Holy Ghost. New experiences of God's power. New dimensions of God's glory. And we walk in it. You believe that? You believe that? Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Keep speaking tongues. Speaking tongues. Speaking tongues. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. You see Him coming in the clouds of heaven. You see Him coming in the clouds of heaven. You see Him coming in the clouds of heaven. I'm in that glory cloud. 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 What God will do on the earth, He's doing through me. What God will say on the earth, He's saying through me. What God will manifest on the earth, it is through me. When I speak, then we hear Jesus. Because I'm coming in the clouds. In the glory cloud. In the glory cloud. In the glory cloud. It is people. It is church. It is people. It's temple. He has come. We walk in His coming. We walk in it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I am not apathetic. I am not lukewarm. I'm not lukewarm. The right hand of God upholds me. The power of God is what I walk with. The glory of God is what I move with. The glory of God is what I move with. The glory of God is what I move with. The glory of God is what I move with. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. That's not next year. That's not next 50 years. It is now. The people who hear me will hear Jesus. The people who see me will see Jesus. The people I touch, they will say, Jesus touched me. Is this how you know how to pray? New experiences, Jesus. New experiences by the Holy Ghost. My Christian walk is never the same again. Lia Bakasona, Ekora Tega, Lebaga Gonsona Batata, Lima Rubo, Sombre Genevala, Rakobo, Somba, Lika, Ragasa, Eta Toso, Eva Lega, Rade Dakata, Lima Rebo Soto Boya, Erika Dababada, or Robo Soto Boya. New experiences, by the Spirit of God. New experiences. Lekato, Tilata, Liba Hato, Igagaboro, Tisendebaya. Wherever I go to, in your nation, in your city, in that town, on that campus, new experiences. People will see Jesus in all of His glory. They will see Jesus in my words, in my preaching. He's coming in the clouds of heaven. They'll see Him. When I show up, it's a show of the right hand of God. When I show up, it's a show of deliverance, of help in the name of Jesus. When I step in, that place is lit up. When I step in, that place is lit up in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm in that glory cloud.